Hello and welcome to Hacks and Flacks with me, Petri Hoskin. Hacks and Flacks is the only series where you'll get the inside scoop on how journalist hacks and the flacks of government and business work behind the scenes to decide which stories you'll be reading with your morning coffee, and perhaps more importantly, how they keep certain headlines off the front pages. What happens if a public figure is a subject of a salacious story? When does a scandal make or break a career? And how do you really know what is or isn't fake news? All these subjects and a whole lot more will be explored by me and a regular panel of hacks and flacks, ready to spill the beans and tell us how the sausages get made. Flacks like former government advisers Giles Kenningham.
Hello.
And Andrew McDougall.
Hello.
Plus hacks like Mick Booker.
Hello.
So now all the gang's here, let's delve into the world of hacks and flacks.
There was a postman, also had an S&M dungeon. I was sent down there with one of the Sunday Sport models to pretend that we were a couple who wanted to watch him do his S&M stuff. I got her to flick the lighter, spark a fag up at the same time that I took a picture to justify the flash.
Hello and welcome to Hacks and Flacks. Today, our tongues are firmly in our cheeks as we take a deep dive into the kind of journalism you won't see featured on Newsnight. That is, unless they decide to investigate the story of the monkey postman who stole a cat. Nope, I'm not recounting a cheese dream. This was a front page headline from the Sunday Sport, complete with a photo of a monkey in a postman's uniform. You'll be glad to know I'm not venturing into Wonderland alone. Coming through the looking glass with me today are regular panellists. Andrew. Hello.
Hello.
Giles.
Hello.
And Mick.
Hello.
And the man behind that front page, editor of the Sunday Sport, Nick Appleyard. Welcome.
Hello. I'm pleased to meet you all.
Now, there was more to this story, wasn't there, than first met the eye?
Well, he was branded a scab by his colleagues for breaking the strike, first of all. That was the initial story. But then we got a call from this guy, I think it was the grandson.
Of the monkey?
Of the cat.
Ah.
Yeah.
What a stupid question.
You should work at our place.
I'd love to, thanks. Right.
So he rang up and said, oh, this monkey postman's stolen my grand's cat. But in hindsight, it was clearly a ruse. He'd had the cat destroyed because he didn't want to pay vet bills and whiskers and all the rest of it. And then he just made up this story about the poor monkey postman. So the monkey postman just took all the grief. But we went and we door knocked the monkey postman.
Yeah.
He just shat in his hand and threw it at the photographer. And we took that to mean no comment.
Can we just go back a bit? Monkey postman.
Yeah. Well, but
there was what?
Don't go all chimpist.
How do you get a story like that?
There was the grandson who rang up and said, look, this monkey postman stole my cat. But just a ruse to blag the fact that he'd had the cat killed.
But why would you choose A, a monkey, and then B, a monkey postman to be the ruse?
I've not, but you'll have to ask him. Ask the monkey if you want some shit in your face.
I'm still confused.
You're confused. What is going on here? Are we speaking English?
I'm not sure.
Well, anyway, yeah. So basically, we had the story. The bloke rang up and said, this monkey postman has killed my dead grand's cat. And we just took it on face value. We shouldn't have done. In hindsight.
But people out there know that can get a proper investigation for these sort of stories
exactly.
From the Sunday Sport, don't
100%, they? Because a lot of newspapers would have just discarded that as outlandish.
Snooty nose in the air, Fleet Street.
Yes, I'm too good for that.
The monkey postman's going to be Prime Minister by the end of this podcast, isn't he?
Is the monkey still alive?
He's still a postman.
Well, things are, we have journalistic integrity. We don't keep on knocking on doors. He's just an ordinary monkey.
Just let it lie.
Or chimp. They're not going to give him any grief about it. So, yeah, he's probably alive. I think they've got similar... They live about as long as...
Simians. Oh, they've gone forever, don't they? Yeah.
He'll be in his mid-50s.
He'll be getting grey now, though, won't he?
Yeah.
I tell you what, though. Having been... Nick has trained up quite a lot of journalists at that place over the years. And they've all come down to London. He's been my feeder a lot of the time. When I was on the Daily Star Sunday, we took on a load of journalists from the Sport. All of them NCTJ trained, all of them brilliant reporters, all of them just they had the tabloid skill off to a T, and you didn't have to train them anything when they came down. We sometimes cock our eyes and we have a bit of a laugh about the sport, but it is a very, very good place to get a ground in and then go out and work in Fleet Street.
It proper. Is. Yeah, no, and yeah, I'm not blowing smoke up my or any of my colleagues, but that's the thing about the sport, is that we're just all in it together. No one is fancy pants or all the rest of it. And if you can't write copy that fits and that is decent, we don't have an army of subs. You can't just send a load of quotes to a qualified sub at the Sun or the Star or whatever. He'll knock it into shape. That doesn't happen at our place. So when you do inherit someone from our place, they can do it from start to finish and it'll be done correctly. And that's why Mick has always taken on my people who've worked four-stroke with me and they want to embark into London when they're in the mid-20s. Yeah. And why wouldn't you? Mm. And they come very well trained and know what they're talking about.
I've built my entire career off the back of his work.
Yeah, that's why he's invited me here. He's going to regret it. Like, I've started really vanilla. It's going to get a lot worse.
The thing with the Sunday sport, I always used to, when I was younger, my friends and I get together on a Sunday, we'd all sit down around a table with all the newspapers and we would fight over who got the Sunday sport. Brilliant. Because they were always the stories. You go, oh, have you heard this? Have you seen this? Have you read this? Is that still the sport's appeal? That in the face of all the woke and all the seriousness, that actually there is some fun to be had?
Yeah, when it comes to being woke, I think I can speak certainly for myself and on behalf of my colleagues, we're fast asleep. A lot of the time, that shared vibe, blokes on a train, going to a stag do or in a minibus or whatever, that's when it's the shared thing. I think that's 100%.
But you say blokes, is it aimed at men?
I mean, no, there is. Yeah, of course, it's aimed at men, but it's shared by women, because my girlfriend couldn't be more woke and left. But they all see the funny side because they know if the intention is nice. We don't turn people over. We're not mean. We just enjoy the extremes of human nature. And simians, obviously.
Giles, have you ever had to keep a story out of the Sunday sport?
No, I was trying to get stories in. But I don't think I've ever hit the benchmark to get in. I was going to ask you, do you have a house style? Do you have a house book? Like, you know,
Like a style guide?
Style guide, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we did the style guide to swearing. Who the fuck puts a hyphen in Bell End?
We'll have to drop that in the show notes to this episode. Yeah.
But it's to your point. I mean, it is very well written. Like you say, like it's tight copy. It's hilarious. They're hilarious puns and stuff. And I mean, your stories, are most of them call-ins? I mean, how do they?
Yeah, they're call-ins, mainly ring-ins. But we had this guy, Percy Foster, the shouty chef?
Gordon Ramsay.
Gordon Ramsay. The Gordon Ramsay lookalike sex dwarf who was eaten by badgers in mid-Wales. Right? So we carried that story and it went global. And now everyone, if they've got a lookalike sex dwarf story, they just come straight to us.
And would you say, like, because there is no one else, right, in this country which is, like, matches the some of his boys at the National Enquirer, where does, you know, if you're going to look at a competitor,
I think
globally,
the National Enquirer, it was Weekly World News was the inspiration, I think, back in the day, and that we're talking 30 odd years ago, way before my time. But hopefully there's no one matches. I suppose Viz would be the closest. We don't really have competitors. We're a niche product. When the News of the World went under, all the other Sunday papers went up 15-20%. We weren't affected one iota. Depressing and encouraging in equal measure.
So the nipple count stayed stuck steady.
Probably the most important aspect of the paper.
Well, no, so the Sunday after I moved here 10 years ago, my brother-in-law sent me out to get the papers. So I'm like, I'll get the Sunday Times. He wanted the Observe. And he's like, make sure you get the Sunday Sport. Yeah. Really? It's like Sunday Sport. I heard the title. I'm like, okay, sure. That's fine. And then I get to the newsagent and I pull it out. And I'm like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I edit it and I still slip into the Guardian when I buy it.
And then I get it home and he's like, have a read of that.
I was going to say, how boring and dull Canadian papers are. Is there anything like this?
You can't even get a nipple into a Canadian newsepaper, let alone 109 nipples, which I think was the count last weekend.
Was 109? Yeah.
I think it was 109. Yeah, that's a lot of nipple.
109? That's an odd number.
Some odd paper around, isn't it?
But some people only show one nipple at a time.
No, I think it was just like a... It was a celebrity getting out of a cab who
oh, right.
had a wardrobe malfunction.
No, but no, yeah, it's, you know, you will see the National Enquirer at the till when you go, but there's no Indigenous Canadian, well, certainly no. not an Indigenous Canadian publication. They don't do much nipple count or nudity, but yeah, it's just, it is, that's why I love, again, it's that feeds into the perception we have of the British press writ large. The Sunday Sport is a big part of that. It does have this bit of
that irreverence a lot of the press has lost. But this is the ones that actually doesn't take itself too seriously and will take the piss.
Or the internet is just kind of drowned out the, you know, used to, Sunday Sport was the one place you could go to get that irreverence. Now you have unlimited digital real estate. That must have changed.
Well, no, it has changed. But well, obviously we use Twitter a lot, which is obviously where you've garnered a lot of your information from. And that works in a sense in that it maintains the brand being a daft satirical paper rather than what has historically been regarded as a bit of a grubby sex paper, which I don't necessarily agree with that, but that is a fact. But I think we're still on the shelves largely because there's an awful lot of people who appreciate what we are through Twitter rather than actually picking up the paper. Because we
still have problems with news agents?
No, the news agents are fine. Obviously, we're not in supermarkets, but Zoo and Nuts weren't in supermarkets at the end, were they? Our main battle is trying to move social media followers, like Ricky Gervais. Funny enough, it was a David Walliams dwarf who had a poo in a swimming pool. And it was seen by... No, you couldn't put that on the front page. Come on.
It's a decency, right?
It's a family newspaper.
Did I pick the wrong time to have a sip of my drink?
So, and that was seen by like millions, literally 3 or 4 million people. And the sales were... didn't change one iota. No, so you can't engineer anything.
Does it worry you that things like Zoo and Nuts consigned to the bin of history? Is there a sense that that kind of reading material is going to die?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But luckily, I'm old and I don't need to be in a job for that much longer.
Sod your team, eh?
Every newspaper I've worked for, they said there's 5 years left to print. There's five years left to print. True. There's always a margin.
We've been saying, we've got another 5 years. We've got another 5 years. We've been saying it forever. And the fact that we're still going when the other ones have died, all that does is encourages me and the team. Because of the fact that we must be doing something right when the others have floundered. So bring it on.
Why is the Sunday Sport referred to as a newspaper?
Because we report the news.
Right. Okay.
What's the...
What are you not getting about that? Exactly. Have you been listening to it?
We're all trained hacks here. Jesus.
Now, this is a really touching and sweet reunion, of course, between Mick and Nick. Nick and Mick. It's got a lovely ring to it.
There used to be another one, Rick, as well. No, there was three of us. We all started together on the same press agency, me and him, and a lad called Richard McIlvany. So there was Mick, Nick and Rick. And we all turned up. We all went on the same day. And do you want to say how you first arrived? We all turned up in a car.
I had to pass my driving test, and you needed to drive to get the job.
All the company cars were waiting for us on day one.
So I pretended to have a pooley ankle when I had my driving test the next day. Luckily, I passed the fucker and got the job, but having to pretend to have a limp. God.
You limped up the stairs.
I know.
You were chauffeured around all day by a photographer.
I know. Been chauffeured by a photographer because I've got this gammy leg, which I didn't have.
But
in reality, I just couldn't drive. Yeah. So, yeah, we got our company cars, but we got $5,000 a year.
We did.
Yeah. You've got the fuel card. Do you remember the fuel card? Fuel, I used to fill my mate's cars up so I could afford to buy potatoes.
What year was this? Just situated.
98, yeah. But everybody wants to get a job in the journal game. So, and a lot of people are funded by the parents and all the rest of it, so they can...
We'd trained in Darlington doing the NCTJ course, and a lot of people on that course had this very specific, we want to be reporters on the Yorkshire Post or something like that, and the three of us just got to the end of this course and we didn't really have anywhere to go, and we ended up with this press agency in Leeds, and all the staff had gone freelance about 2 weeks before, so they desperately needed us. And then instantly, so all our contemporaries on the course were doing, you know, council meetings and things like that in somewhere in Yorkshire,
we were straight
and we were working for The Sun. and the Daily Mail straight away, and the news desk were ringing up, sending us, thinking we were proper journalists, and we were just three idiots, and made it from there.
People tweeted you like you were proper season, because I remember I remember waking up outside Scary Spice's house with a photographer, thinking, what the fuck.
Well, I remember because I think I relieved you that weekend, and I still got your. I think it was a Morrissey album. I think I've still got yours on cassette that you'd been playing. Yeah,
right. Well, I'll have that back.
I'll give it back.
Yeah, be worth a few bob probably.
So, when you guys started out as reporters and you were taken seriously doing that job, what was it like being a reporter in those days? Because I suspect it's very different to being a reporter now, where everything is visualised.
Well, it was as an agency reporter then. It was literally, it was anything in the north of England, or it was Yorkshire at the time. So the Daily Mail didn't have someone to go and knock on a door in Otley and near Leeds. They'd get one of us to do it. So that was what we did. So it was all hours of the day, 24/7. It was just go there. You know, can you go to Hull? Because they all think, you know, Leeds is next to Hull and it's not
isn't it?
Drive halfway across the country. Or can you have a look around Grimsby for us? There's this bloke's a paedophile. Can you go and knock on his door? Or something like that. It was, oh, great. It was all the jobs that none of the reporters in that patch really wanted to do. So they'd give it to the agency instead. But it's a great grounding. Because you get to do absolutely everything. You can knock on a door and say you're from the Sun, you can say you're from the Mail, you're from the Times, you're from the Telegraph. It's brilliant. And you just, it was, I mean, I was 23 at the time. You live in about the same, aren't you? Yeah. But it was just brilliant. We were straight into it and being trusted to do all
this. No, it is. It's a grounding. It also, it sets you up for crushing disappointment.
Oh, yeah. You can take anything in life after that.
Because everything, like pretty much everything you do is a
And I think
a,
we benefited.
Shut door.
We benefited, me going to the Star, you going to the Sport, because the two blokes who ran it, Jeff Ross and Dave Parry, they were old Fleet Street photographers.
Yeah, lovely men.
And they knew how to bend things and get around certain rules and regulations. Not, you know, they never break the law, but they just taught us to be streetwise, because that's all they learn. Whereas some people are taught by very stuffy, proper journalists. And we learn to be a little bit fly.
You can always tell someone who comes to work for you whether they've been at an agency. You can't 100%, because that is the hardest, rubbishest, is this such a word?
That'll do.
Well, yeah, but it sounds a bit Sunday Sport. okay, I'll just stick to shittest. you just get used to, as Mick said, just thrown in at the deep end, and you come out of it like a rounded reporter who can do pretty much everything.
Do you think that's missing in young reporters now, that sort of being thrown in and having doors shut in your face?
But I don't
think... Well, knock on doors anymore.
They can't anymore.
No, but you're probably not allowed, really.
Not allowed, no.
So you can't compare now with then, because it's even in that small tenure between 98 and now, things have changed so much.
So much.
Well, a lot of what we were asked to do was, again, those jobs that not really anyone wanted to do. So knock on the door of someone who's just lost their child in some sort of accident and try and get a picture.
Yeah.
Again, talking about things like Nicola Bulley recently and the way that the family complained about being contacted by the press subsequent to her being found. You know, then we'd have just... It would be the muscle thing. That's what you do. You go knock on the door.
There'd be a dozen people outside.
Yeah.
There'd be pushing offers of money through the letterbox. We'll give you 10 grand if you'll speak to us.
But things have changed so quickly.
Or we'll go £1,000 more than the next man. And it wouldn't happen now. So you can't really compare.
The last few years on newspapers, I was surprised. Not once did I get emailed off anyone saying, I want to be a reporter on that newspaper.
Not once?
No, because they go online and so they come in and they're just, a lot of the ones online, I mean, there's some very good reporters online, I'm sure, but the youngest ones who come in entry level, a lot of them are already from London anyway, because a lot of people, like from when I first came down, I mean, I don't think many people could afford to do what I've done now, coming down from the north of England with no money and trying to set up a new life. Mm. So a lot of them are from London. They all go in and they do online stuff, and they aren't these fully rounded reporters. It can't be. It's impossible.
What do you look for in a sort of Sunday Sport reporter? What's the job interview like?
An eye for detail, a quick-witted, nice way of writing, and sense of humour.
Do you have any women?
Don't be soft. Pardon?
Do you have any women?
I've had a few women.
Working at the Sunday Sport at the moment.
Two out of 12.
Actually,
there's only 12
terrible.
Of us these days.
That's still awful.
Well, no, but
do women not have a sense of humour?
It used to be. No, but when I was news editor, pretty much all of the news desk was women. There was two blokes and 10 women. I don't make any decisions based on gender. Never have done, never will.
No. But again, some of the ones who came out were like Debbie Manley and Rachel Spencer.
Yeah,
worked for the News of the World. They worked for all the best newspapers and they are brilliant journalists.
Yeah.
And they've all worked
award-winning.
Just going back to that stuff about it on Twitter, is there a global following?
Oh, no, I think, yeah. Well, we were, you know, Kate
Ritchie. Can you monetize it at
all? Remember
Kate
Ritchie from Home and Away?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she,
Sally.
Yeah, Sally, yeah. So they did a radio show on some Aussie, one of the biggest, like, independent radio stations in Australia, Sydney. And they used to read out our stories every week. The Aussies love us. Unfortunately, it's quite expensive to send papers to Australia. So it's not reflected in sales, but the internet is a joy, and it's nice to have the pat on the back if you get a million views from a good story.
Yeah.
Then it's great, but it doesn't actually make any money. But it's nice for ego.
Now, Nick, you've been a reporter since, been editor, sorry, since 2007, but you started at The Sport in the late 90s as a reporter. What was it like to work for in those days compared to now?
I remember my first day, it was a Sunday morning and it was pissing down, and I was walking up Oldham Street, which in those days was awful. Now it's like the trendy northern quarter, but in those days it was just like you were offered blowjobs or smack twice, just in 1 5-minute walk.
Is that why you were walking up?
Free for every reader.
Well, that's why I was late. In those days, yeah, no, you were sent out on jobs all the time because we were selling 250,000 copies. So there's 150 staff then.
What was the highest sales then in all its history?
I think before my time, I think we were getting close to 500,000.
Really? Yeah. I was going to say, what's been the best-selling front page?
It doesn't really. It doesn't change that much. No, right. I think we've got a bedrock of readers. It'll go up 500 either way. You look at the Sunday People or whatever. Mick will know better than I do, but they were doing 2 million at one point. And what are they now? 300,000.
Yeah, well, they're down 70,000-80,000 now. Wow. I think the Daily Star Sunday is down to 90,000.
90,000 exactly.
The Sunday Mirror only around about 200,000.
Exactly.
So the market has
people have just got out of the habit of buying a newspaper, because at the end of the day, and I think that's why we do okay, and why I think there might be a bit of longevity, is the fact that we aren't doing what you can see online. No one else, as you said, the Monkey Postman and whatever, Sex Dwarfs or whatever, no one else reports those stories.
I can't imagine why. There's nothing the Hacks and Flacks team enjoy more after a lively record than relaxing with a delicious beer. And as we're a generous bunch, we want you to get in on that action. And so we're offering you the chance of grabbing a free case of craft ales from Beer 52. Yes, you can claim a free case of exceptional beers by simply going to www.beer52.com/hacks and cover the meagre postage costs of £5.95 to claim your free case now. Each month, Beer 52 send their members a case of unique and varied beers from a different part of the world, which includes their ever-insightful Ferment magazine, where you can learn about the breweries, regions and the wonderful world of beer whilst enjoying a phenomenal selection of fresh and tasty craft ales. And as fellow newshounds, I'm sure you'll love learning what's new in beer as much as we do. And there's also a couple of delicious snacks to enjoy too. Also, if dark beer is not your thing, you can choose the light-only case. And even if, after all that, you're still unsatisfied, you can simply pause or cancel any time. So why not join us for a drink and sip along while you listen to the next episode of Hacks and Flacks by going to www.beer52.com/hacks to claim your free case now. That's beer52.com/hacks. Cheers. Your first day you were late walking to work.
Oh, smacked up and...
Yeah, smacked up and satisfied. Hooked.
Yeah.
So you turn up for work. What was it like being a reporter
No, I'd always wanted to work for a newspaper, not necessarily The Sport, but once I was there, I loved it. Really nice people, no bullying, no nastiness, really.
Which is unusual in those days in newsrooms.
Oh, there was a bit of...
Yeah, it really was.
There was
awful
bullying that you can deal with.
Yeah.
But not the nastiness where people are running out crying.
Yeah.
Like you hear about with other papers.
Yeah, they were bad days, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, well, the joy was, if you just survived till 1 o'clock, most of your bosses were pissed. And quite kind.
Tell us some of your stories that you covered as a young reporter. Were you surprised at the breadth and depth of them?
Oh, yeah. Well, we were sent all around the country. I remember my news editor telling me to nip from Bristol to Norwich. What the fuck? Literally the breadth of the country. Because it wasn't, it was outside of Greater Manchester. They must all be close together. But that kind of thing was, no, we were sent all across the country to cover stories, like undercover stuff. And it was a joy, to be honest. For the first few years, I was barely in the office and it was just out there doing stuff.
What kind of undercover stories did you cover?
Well, there was, sounds like we just do dwarfs and postmen. However, there was a postman, right?
So you did.
Who also had an S&M dungeon, right? Which has got a bit of human interest and it's quite amusing. So I was sent down there with one of the Sunday Sport models to pretend that we were a couple who wanted to watch him do his S&M stuff in his dungeon.
Okay.
And I got her to flick the lighter and spark a fag up at the same time that I took a picture to justify the flash. And we got the story, it was great. And like, and we ran it, and he rang up and he said, oh, that's amazing. If you'd just run it by me, I'd have happily paused for pictures.
It's not quite as much fun, though.
No, but it was great. Anyway, that kind of thing is what, that was our bread and butter. And it was fun, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I remember once getting spanked by this Miss Whiplash woman. And the picture was shared around the conference room. Obviously, it was when I was just a lowly reporter, so I wasn't in the conference room. And Tony Livesey says, hasn't Nick got a wide arse?
After the spanking.
Yeah. So that's Tony Livesey, the editor?
Formerly.
Formerly.
Sure, now on Five Live.
Now on the king
sure
of the BBC.
I'm sure to be reminded of that. That might be one of the things I ask to be excluded.
Or that we tweet at him when we put this episode out, retweeted by the Sunday Sport.
Is there a story that you wouldn't do in the Sunday Sport?
Oh, yeah, we wouldn't do anything that is likely to affect an ordinary person.
Right.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, we pick on celebrities who use publicity to make money and people in power. Ordinary people, if it's not of their volition, we don't bother.
Did you get the monkey's permission?
Well, I told you, just fucking shut his hand, didn't
it? It's his own fault then, isn't it?
What about foreign reporting, though? You think the Sunday Sport could go into Russia and get some good stuff on Putin? Like,
oh brilliant.
Right. Putina, yes.
I've got to read this out. When was this from? January the 1st, 23. Evil Putin has sex change.
You can just imagine the Russian embassy actually clipping that and sending it across.
Oh, no. Every time I go to urinal, I expect to get a bullet in the back of my head.
I love this story as well. Mrs. Brown's boys killed my kitten.
Bastards.
Is that not defamatory?
Not really. Well, do you know the story behind that?
Go on. They killed a kitten.
She was so fucked off with how shit Mrs. Brown Boys was that she forgot the kittens were there and they accidentally fell into a boiling casserole.
No cat falls into a boiling casserole.
Well, they did when you take your eye off the boil.
I also agree that Mrs. Brown Boys is
dwarf
shit.
Having a sex.
No,
this is actual Putin.
No, he's done it, apparently, so we were told. Maybe again I've been...
Not another ruse.
I think I'm probably the most cretinous editor in the world. Well, who cares anyway? But yeah, Putin. I think we can all agree that Putin's
a bit. Have you been
banned
from Russia yet?
I don't know, but I've never thought about going there.
It doesn't matter if you haven't thought about going. No. You can still be banned.
I'm sure we're banned from Russia, yeah, but Putin, he's a bad egg.
He's a bad one, isn't he? Yeah.
He's a wrong one. He's a wrong one.
It's like, what did Steno say? Controversial dictator, Adolf Hitler. Yeah, let me just say, my co-editor, Simon Dean, is the genius behind most of this stuff.
What other front pages have you got that you love, that you're proud of?
Just picked off a couple. Camilla put itching powder in Harry's polo pants. Jez is sex dwarf sacked from Panto and he's grumpy. Vicar dressed as Harry Styles for a funeral.
The thing I love about your sex dwarves, right, and that's a sentence I didn't think I'd say, is that they are so spookily alike, the celebrities that they're meant to look like.
Since we did the Gordon Ramsay dwarf who was eaten by the badgers, it's opened the floodgates. I had no idea there was that many celebrity sex dwarf lookalikes. It's incredible. But you just, nobody realizes this kind of stuff.
Well, no, I mean, it's like when you buy that brand of car and suddenly you notice that everybody's driving that
exactly,
brand of car.
Exactly, exactly.
Is there still a big glamour girl industry? Because when I was at the Star, it was at the fag end of that.
No, it's finished.
Do you still pay for stories?
Well, we tend not to pay for stories. We're a bit like the BBC in that respect.
Okay.
Very similar. Very similar. Do you think the world of young journalists, again, coming through now, are lacking? I'm not talking about the sort of sense of humour you'd need to work on the sport, but generally just don't seem to have that sort of fresh, fun attitude that I think we all had as young journalists.
Yeah, well, to be honest, these days, the average time that people have been at our paper out of the dozen of us that are left is about 17 years.
Wow.
So we don't, and everyone's just been doing it for so long and everyone's really, really good at it and it's the best team. So we don't really have new journals. I've not had a new journalist in a decade.
GB News has just started, Talk TV started, and there's been this sort of explosion in TV. There's a big churn in all of these places of people coming, people going, people quitting, people coming in, people wanting more money, blah, blah, blah. And it's only lots of young people. Whereas in newspapers, again, I never saw anyone quit. I never saw this big churn. People came in, did their job and just got on with it and that was it. And there does seem to be a different attitude with the younger generation here, that there's more of an entitlement and they want instant, they want to be superstars. Journalists, they think they are already superstar journalists, and there isn't this idea of building a career.
100%. Many people will say, oh, you work at the Sunday Sport, means you're not a proper journal. The people I work with are the best journals.
And the other thing about the sport is that it's still a place in the north of England.
100%.
It's the last bit of Fleet Street in the north of England.
I'd love it if I was born 30 years ago and started a newspaper in Manchester. Yeah. It'd be brilliant. It'd be brilliant, but unfortunately, that's not the case.
I think we do take ourselves too seriously, or particularly young people now.
Oh, God, they do.
Well, we're going that way.
But any advanced Western society that claims to be kind of small-L liberal, classic liberal, you have to take the piss. You have to understand that you are not important enough to not be mocked. And woe to any society that forgets that that is a key part of the society.
But I mean, that's where we're going.
I could not agree more with that sentiment. That's absolutely bang on.
Newsrooms used to be the place that was the banter and the fun, you know, even if I remember when Princess Diana died, the jokes that were flying around the newsroom, almost because you were dealing with something so shocking that was a release valve. Yeah. But you can't joke about anything in a newsroom.
Well,
now.
Gallows humour were not
gallows.
No, we not the stuff that I almost could say.
Yeah.
It's off the scale. But no,
I chose this job because I didn't want to do a proper job.
Yeah, and now it's become too serious.
It's a fun job, and it's done me and you proud.
Because we were going nowhere.
No, yeah, I was on. Yeah, my highest aspiration was driving for Argos.
Parents wake up trying to protect their kids from everything now.
Yeah.
And all you do is hurt the kid at the end of the day because you can't take those punches. You can't roll with it.
Yeah.
On the newsroom point, I think, what do you think that the difference in class as well? Because it seemed to me that newsrooms here, even not that long ago, you'd have that mix of working class.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would.
And management.
Yeah. That's because there wasn't a degree in it.
Most people, like people that me and Mick have worked with, well, certainly people I worked with for years, started as T-boys.
That course we did, most of them were working class, weren't they?
Yeah.
The ones on there. Yeah, and the ones, when I first came to the Star, all the senior reporters
were
all
working
class.
There was one girl who said she wanted to be a sub whose dad worked at the Sun and she disappeared after a couple of weeks. And she was the only one who could afford decent shoes.
Well, yeah, and I think now, because of the degree course, these youngsters come to a newsroom thinking they know it all, first of all, and that there's nothing that you can teach them, and they're a different class. They are posher. They are more spoiled.
But I bet you they can't write a lead even after coming out of journalism school.
Right? No, they'll do journalism. They'll do a degree in journalism and say, "Oh, I don't want to work for newspaper. I'm just going to work for BuzzFeed.
I want to be a presenter."
Because it's
what they
nice.
Say.
I want to be a presenter. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, straight away.
There's one bloke who joined GB News last year, and he was remarkable because he stood out because he'd come from Sunderland. It was his second career that he'd had. He'd brought his family down, and his wife had relocated, as a teacher, and he'd brought two teenage kids down here. And he was remarkable because he was the one person who'd risk anything to be down there in that newsroom. Whereas a lot of them, they've all been to the same university in London, and they've all gone in the same course, and they've all got these entry level jobs. But he was risking everything, and that shouldn't be the exception. I mean, but and it is.
But it is the exception.
It is. Yeah.
And Nick, I want to, just before we go, I want to ask you about some T-shirts that you had printed.
Oh yeah. Speaking of BuzzFeed, we won the headline of the year a few years ago. It was like it was a warning when someone won about 150 million on Euro Millions, and it was like a warning to Euro Millions winner or whatever. Dot dot dot. And it was this bloke. It was like, 10 years ago, the lotto made me a millionaire, and now I suck off dogs for coevers. So he just... He'd blown all his money. And, and we got some T-shirts printed, like when we were doing, like, a bit of a merchandise thing for this revenue stream. And we sold about 300. I was thinking, who the hell is walking around with that on the chest?
Is that going to be the name of the film?
For Quavers.
Well, that'd be a great name for a film, wouldn't it?
I think it's only 5 years' time.
Is there going to be a film? Because I think a film about the Sunday Sport
would be brilliant. It was on the horizon, but we just couldn't get the funding, so we'll do it and flog it to Netflix. I don't really live in that media world.
But it is that, it's the ultimate combination of high and lowbrow. The point we just made, it matters that a society can have this, and then the personalities involved. Like, I'm said, let's do it.
I'd love to do that. It'd be amazing.
There we go. You heard it here first, folks. Yeah.
Just before we go, which is your favourite ever front page, do you think?
That's a tricky one. I don't know. It's like choosing between my children. The old one, the world hide and seek champ found dead in cupboard, which was way before my time, but that was genius.
There was one I saw that was a moon with a bus crashed into it.
They did the World War II bomber found on moon, which is good. But then 3 weeks later, they said, World War II bomber found on moon vanishes. So they just moved the plane off the picture of the moon. See, it's that kind of thing that made me think, I want a world there.
Yeah. What was the headline for this guy who stuck 9 cream eggs up his bum?
I think you've just read out the headline.
No, that wasn't.
Fair enough.
Sometimes the truth is enough.
Record-breaking Steve sticks 9...
I just remember, I think it was the first edition. When was the first edition? Late 80s, was it? What was it?
Yeah, 86.
I remember going to the shop. My dad bought it, thinking, oh, I'll buy this. Take it home with the other one, with the Express and the... Yeah. Never bought it again. But it was more of a sport paper then as well, wasn't it?
But they had, like, interviews with, like, soap stars and stuff. Like, if I hung up a soap star, I'd say, not you again.
There's the interview.
Yeah, exactly.
2 inches.
She declined to comment.
Tragically, that's all we got time for today. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. We could all do with a laugh right now, and the Sunday Sport certainly provides that. Well, thanks to my panel for joining me. Nick Appleyard, Giles, Nick and Andrew, thank you very much indeed.
You people are all so deeply weird. What's wrong with this country?
See you next time for more Hacks and Flicks. Hacks and Flacks is presented by me, Petri Hoskin, produced by Amanda Redman, and brought to you by Trafalgar Strategy. If you want to get in touch with your take on the current news climate, you can do that by emailing us at hackflackpod@gmail.com. And don't forget to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time on Hacks and Flacks.